It's so fucking hard to post something that seems genuine anymore that has a slightly negative connotation to it on social media now, because the platform is designed and thriving off of impulsivity and passive aggressiveness. So even if you were to say, in my life, I've had a lot of ups and downs, it's a true statement, but a lot of people would say that sentence and downs right after something bad happens.
Yeah, or I think of the fact that, like, there's some people who would say, like, you shouldn't be so comfortable posting your life out there when, like, all right, so if this is, like, if my Facebook is supposed to be, in theory, a timeline of my life and my experiences and what I'm interested in, and I can't go on there and say, like, I'm having a really horrible time in my life right now, or I just went through this and I'm still processing it and I'm really upset right now. Like, if I can't do that without people being like, oh my god, she's crying out for attention. Like, what's the fucking point? Like, and again, like that poem that I wrote, I posted it and then I was like, oh god, people are gonna think I'm like so emo and judge me for like posting like my heartfelt, like this is how I fucking feel. And I was like really worried. And I think I actually deleted it before it was up for 24 hours because I was in that headspace of like, oh fuck, people are gonna think I'm some emo weirdo, like posting their fucking poetry online and like judging me for it.
There seems to be a trend with being very quick to judge anything that's posted on social media.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, there's an audience, and you can never say the right thing in it. What I really don't understand and what I really have grown to not like is the only right thing to say is whatever is popular, like, in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And any sort of critical thinking or otherwise is rejected.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking just about with social issues and political stuff. I'm talking even if you make a personal post. If you're feeling something right now, then someone will have their two cents on it, and it's usually like an open for a debate that has no depth or a challenge. Mm-hmm. Which has no end.
Yeah, and I think that one source of anger and frustration that is very new to the 21st century is things you see online, when things that your friends will post or things people are sharing or like news articles about like current events, and people just getting upset by them. And again, like in the same way that there are echo chambers with like thoughts or ideas you believe in, I think that sometimes there's like there can be a really big mob mentality with things posted online. You know, the idea of like jumping on and what is the thing called when you get angry at somebody and there's a verb for it, where you get mad at them online, you just, like, ream them. It's called something.
What comes to mind is shitposting, but I know that's not it.
That's not it.
Mic drop, one-upping.
Is it called a firestorm? No. It's, like, kind of like the... flaming! Oh, flaming! Yeah. When you flame somebody. I was like, fire. Fire imagery, fire imagery. Flaming. When you flame somebody. Like, that's a thing. That's a concept. That you, like, just get enraged and, like, harm them online with your words. Yeah, but that's a thing now.
Definitely easy to do. Because when you communicate anything online or digitally, there's not as much of an emotional responsibility or emotional tact when you're not responding to somebody's face. And I'm trying to remember if we discussed this on a previous podcast, but like right now I'm talking to you, I'm pretty receptive as to how you're reacting.
You can see my angry eyebrows.
Yeah, so when I'm talking about something that upsets you, I could definitely see it. Like even if you weren't expressive in the face, I could just feel it.
Yeah.
But online, you're taking a gamble of just sending it out there. And then it's kind of like fishing. You know, you're casting out your fucking bait. And the bait is always just, you know, look for some shit. And when you reel it back in, you could either get a fish, a boot, some seaweed, or your fucking worm is gone. At one point in time, you needed to have a dream in order to articulate yourself to, like, really, like, facilitate change. And you really had to read and research and fucking stand up for yourself to really get your point across, even if it was to be debated. As long as you stood headstrong, you can do it, and it would really make a difference, like, within the culture. Now, they're trying to pass that off as all you need is an email and a password. And you can do just that.
Well, I was, this relates to a post that I saw from I Fucking Love Science on Facebook, and it was a picture of two people standing above what is drawn on the ground, a 6 from one person's perspective, and a 9 from the person on the other side of the number's perspective. And the original caption of that picture was, we can have differing opinions, but still both be right. And a person crossed that out and responded, well, if this was the, you know, if this was that piece of art or whatever, did we consult the artist? Did we see if there's like a vantage point that's supposed to be there? Did, like, you know, everyone is too busy wanting to have an opinion that they don't do their research. And I was like, that's kind of true. And like, to think when you were talking about like, you know, you had to have a dream and like a kind of like a purpose or something that you lump onto and you kind of devote yourself to. Now it's like, research is I read an article on Facebook and that was it. It wasn't I went through scholarly journals. I didn't look any further. I went to one news source and found this and didn't try to verify it, which is again kind of sad that like now we can't just trust news. Like there's this push of like, oh, you only read one article from this source, that is biased, blah blah blah. Like that's really messed up and I don't enjoy that. And then there's also people who will post things just to get people angry. Trolls. Trolling somebody where you're just trying to get them upset. Like, I don't get it. There's so much currency around anger now that I'm thinking about it. But why?
Just for the lulls.
Oh, God.
There was this book I read a couple years ago. It was called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. And I can't remember the fucking name of the author. I believe Whitney was either her first or last name, but she interviewed a lot of like shit posters and trolls like over the past few years, and they all said they did it just because it was funny. I will admit, I don't troll anybody like to like provoke pain or anything like that, but I have this really unique relationship with one of my friends. Whenever she sends me something shocking to read, I always troll with a response that is the horrible exact opposite, and then we're able to come together on how either true or ridiculous that is.
So, do you have an example that you're willing to share?
Okay. So, for instance, I have to build this up to a lot of context because my friendship with her was, it's been, well, at least talking and discussing with things like this, it's been at least 6 years. Okay. So, we really understand each other when we say stuff. So, if I were to just send a response like this to you, we do have a good relationship, but we're not on that level.
For sure.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
So for instance, I can't build this up without saying
so I will make a fictitious example. So like, let's say she sends you an article about like Syria, how like Trump and the military had this Syrian airstrike, and she sends it to you with the intent of like, oh my god, look what Trump and our military did. And then you respond back like pro the airstrike or whatever, which is the opposite reaction that she wanted. But then with that response, you guys are able to like talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time. But obviously, like, my responses are never how I feel.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So I'll give the example now. Because I was just, I was fearful of saying it, but it's not that I'm like betraying, you know. Okay. A few weeks ago, there was a kid who got shot.
You're laughing because you're uncomfortable, not because you think it's funny.
Of course. Oh, the kid got shot. LOL. So she sent me like these articles, and we actually have these like good discussions about like, you know, race in this country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the article, it says that, you know, he was down and then they shot him. And then I was like, well, wait, maybe he was playing possum.
Oh, so you were doing what you did earlier to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So you pretty much know like how I am with stuff like that. So I'm like, wait, he's playing possum. And wait, he wasn't running away. He was running towards them backwards. They had every... The police had every right to defend themselves.
Yeah, so, like, whatever... Yeah, like, which is the opposite of how you actually feel or whatever.
Exactly.
But you say that to, like... You say it to get her goat? Or to make her laugh? Like, why do you do it?
I think once she laughs, then, like, we really... Well, she knows how I feel about, you know, like, race, like, in general. You know, like, just, like, in this country, so... Despite, like, some of our, like, you know, discussions, like, over the podcast, I'm actually really, like, for the oppressed, like, and want to see them, like, come up and rise up out of, you know, oppression, but...
you're for helping the oppressed, you're not for the oppression.
Right, like, well, yeah, but, like, some of the shit I say, like, when we were discussing words on our, a few episodes of our podcast, I might come off as really racist. But sometimes I have to say the really racist and insensitive thing to bring light to how fucked up the culture is.
I don't think anything you've said has been, I don't think anything you've said has been, like, racist. I just think that there would be many people who, like, heavily disagree with you.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, now, that being said, like, again, we've talked about this kind of, like, people jumping to, like, labeling, like, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this, you're that. Like, sure, I bet people would take what you said and label you that. And again, I'm not, like, the racism police. Like, I can call certain things, like, yeah, if it's institutionalized and systematic forms of oppression, yes, that's racist. But, like, something like that, like, I don't think anything you've said has been racist. I think people just, like, disagree with you heavily and, like, really, really come for you that way. But I'd hope they wouldn't call you a racist.
Oh, I say a lot of racist shit. But it's... okay, I'll give you an example.
Oh, God. I don't know if I want to hear this. Oh, God.
No, it's not too bad.
Oh, God. I don't know if I want to hear this.
Okay, well, yesterday at work, I was talking with a coworker. He's an older man, and he was talking about immigration. So, and he was talking about how Hollywood, like, they, like, okay, all the people in Hollywood want all the immigrants to come over here, yet they build up their own gigantic fences and walls outside of their property. And I said, well, wait a minute. In all fairness, at least the immigrants work on the inside.
So, okay, so when you say that, you're saying it to be funny and to poke fun at how ridiculous they're being.
Yeah.
But you do it to both sides.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't think you're not being the asshole devil's advocate I was talking about earlier. You're being, I think that's kind of funny. Yeah. But you do it to both sides, so at least you're fair about it.
Yeah. I don't think, like, at least in our discussions and, like, all of our interactions with each other, there's nothing that I 100% disagreed with you on.
Yeah.
To the point to where I felt differently about you. The only way I could tell if it were to be like that is if you were pro-pedophilia.
I'm very not.
Or if you were for people who are pedophiles, but they don't act on it, and then you think they deserve support.
No.
That's where I really draw the line.
Like, I feel bad, like, saying that I think that, you know, like, because it's not a good thing to say a group of people should die. But yeah, rapists and pedophiles should die. And now, as I've said that, I literally am like, oh wow, people online are gonna ream me because I think that pedophiles and rapists should die.
Okay, what if the kid wanted it though?
Exactly, like that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like that example was funny because there is some asshole online who really thinks that way. Or like there's people in life who legitimately think that way. And when you say it like that, you're pointing fun at the fact that they're fucking ridiculous. Like, that's... I think that's using humor to an advantage. Like, you're making somebody laugh and then actually think about, like, that. You know what I mean? Like, and again, like, you've never said anything, like, in front of me that you meant, like seriously. Like, what you just said about, like, the joke at work. Like... You don't really mean that. You, in fact, are using that humor as a device to, like, flip it and make people think, like, to actually think. And you're poking fun at their position. But it's not meant to enrage.
Right. Or even with the Vegas shooter. Like, when that, like, the day after that happened, I said, well, wait a minute. If the concert goers had guns.
Yeah, and so, like, that's a good example of, like, taking a position and making fun of it. Like, and again, you, like you said, you always say, like, the opposite of, like, what you're feeling or whatever. And again, that's to poke fun at it. Taking, juxtaposing the person's feelings with that, with these, like, you know, I'm going to call them quote-unquote stupid questions. Like, well, you know, if all the concert goers had guns, they could have killed him back. Like, I don't know, killed him back. What the fuck am I saying? You know what I mean, though? Yeah. You say it and it's, like, purposeful. It's, you know, and it's not meant, again, it's not meant to enrage. So I think it's... Yeah.
So it's weird that I use trolling to connect with people, but I'm using trolling right. If there is a right way to use trolling, it's a way to provoke discussion as opposed to just, like, poke at someone who's down and injured. You know, like, taking this trolling now is, like, there's a dead skunk on the ground and you're poking it with a stick while it's still alive.
Yeah, no, not okay. But what you're doing is you're, like, examining the skunk as it's dying.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't think that's actually what you're doing. I think it's a very bad analogy. But I liked your, but literally, like, the way trolling is now, it is, it's like stabbing like a bear, like a sleeping bear. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Another weird thing about that book was when she interviewed these people, these were all seemingly, like, normal and happy and content people, and it really wasn't coming from a place of anger. Like, people who are extremely angry don't generally troll other people. The people who are generally angry post passive-aggressive shit online.
Oh man, that's really funny, because it's making me think of a conversation you and I had about a person that was in my life, and you're like, wow, that's some passive-aggressive bullshit. And I'm like, ooh, that person had a lot of anger.
I'm really sensitive to passive aggression, like a fucking drug-sniffing dog, like, sniffing assholes in an airport. Like, I am extremely sensitive to passive aggression, and I know it, like, very well. So that was some passive-aggressive shit that went down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what you said. And I was like, really? Which is weird. I, you know, have had experiences in my life with a person who's been frequently called passive-aggressive. And I try to understand it from their perspective, but I don't see the person as passive-aggressive. But I'm not on the receiving end of what they received. So, and again, I'm being vague on purpose.
Right. There does come a point where... there really is a fine line between validating someone's anger and them taking responsibility for it. So if you're calling somebody out on their anger, even in, like, their passive aggressiveness, you could still say that, hey, like, this is kind of shitty that you're saying it like this, and I really don't like it. And it's really hard to say that from a calm place, because passive aggression, it's kind of like, think of it this way. The analogy I have is aggression and assertiveness. Not assertiveness in a negative way, but, like, let's just say it's, like, combat. Mm-hmm. Like, with guns. Now that we're talking about guns. Let's just say directness is you go up to somebody and you shoot them in the fucking head. Point blank. You look them right in the eye. You turn their brains into hamburger meat. Passive aggressiveness, you're a fucking sniper on the roof. So you're hidden, and then all of a sudden you just shoot this bullet, and then, you know, it hits the person, and then everybody else that's around the person that got shot is like, wait, where the fuck did that come from? Who did this? What? Like, what's going on? Like, they don't think of the directness, and then the person who's being passive-aggressive is still safe in the room, but if all they have is a sniper rifle, you can kick the fucking door in and then shoot them in the head, and they're completely defenseless, because they're only meant for taking out people at a long range, and there's no safer fucking clock tower than social media.
Yeah, oh, that's, no, I think you're exactly right. Like, the people who are passive-aggressive and, like, pull that shit... No, I think you're really right. I can't imagine the experiences you've had in your life that have made you so receptive to it or sensitive to it. Like, you know, and I'm not, when I say sensitive to it, I'm not like, you're so fucking sensitive. You know what I mean?
No, I totally understand what you mean. A lot of years, and I think once I started educating myself on all this shit, I would say about 2014, I started reading a lot of books about emotional abuse, verbal abuse. The book that changed my life was called Why Does He Do That? By Lundy Bancroft. And I actually think it's one of the most important books that everybody should read. And it's I can't remember, like, psychologist, but he's specifically teaching angry men to like get over their anger. And he's worked with thousands of men and tried to really rehabilitate them. And then he really explains in the book well, like these steps on like what, like this action and what this reaction means. So there's some where he's saying, oh, he's not mad that he's angry. He's mad that you're angry at his anger.
Yeah.
You know, really fucking eye opening and life changing shit. And then I was reading like this one book called, God, man, I have them all written down, but I don't have them easily accessible off the top of my head, but it's about gaslighting. Are you familiar with the term?
Yeah, I wasn't until a couple of years ago. And, yeah, the same figure in my life who was often told to me was passive aggressive has also, like, if this person had the language, they would also call them a gaslighter for sure.
That's a big part of it. There's verbal abuse, like the emotional abuse. Like I've read like a lot of like material on this that really opened up my mind. There's this one book called I Don't Want to Talk About It by Terrence Real. And it was written in like the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about men and depression. And again, that book was written 30 years ago, but it's still probably more relevant now than it even was in the 80s. Yeah. So I think aggressive and angry people are direct. They'll take the gun and then shoot them in the fucking head, mm-hmm. looking them at the eye. Passive aggressive people climb the clock tower of Facebook to get that out. And then the other side of the anger is you just turn it in on yourself. So let's just say some people could, you know, like indulge with like drugs or self-harm, but that's a lot more complex. That's anger, but that's also like shame and guilt and resentment. Yeah. And that's just like a whole concoction of just these really troubling things to feel. It all really starts from one, the validation, because one of my close friends, like, she doesn't really have a healthy outlet to express anger usually at all. Like for most of her life she was told to hold it in, so now she's expressing it now, but when she's found that she, you know, she's being validated, then, you know, it works out a lot better. Because when you hold it in, this goes back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago with it being like taking a shit. So anger is like a fart. Okay, anger is a piece of shit with a fart behind it. So the longer you hold both in, you will shoot this fucking turd out of your ass with such force it can knock a hole in the wall.
That's literally all I'm thinking is gun imagery again.
Yeah, gun imagery again.
I just like thinking like gun imagery. Fucking poop analogies.
That's what most of this podcast is. I'm just shit and pro wrestling.
Well, it's funny because like coffee and catastrophe, like coffee is diuretic, so
I never get the shits with coffee. I always piss a lot, or I always piss once and then like it's like dehydrated and that's it. Some people like have the shits. I don't get it.
I don't know. It's just like if I get in a habit of drinking like coffee like at a certain hour, like in the morning, then I definitely sense like my bowel movements like align with it. But it's probably just genetics, honestly. Like a part of me thinks that there's like people in my family who drink their coffee just so they can poop. And to that, I tell them eat some fucking bananas. But no, I actually had this idea. We don't have to do it if you don't want to, but let's go back and forth with things that make us angry. Almost like, not word association, but like, I can start. People who walk too slow in the mall. When you get trapped behind them, ooh, anger.
Oh, okay. Left, people who are turning left and they're on their fucking phones.
People who are driving and texting and driving at all. Like, if I see you on your phone, like, if you're in the other lane, you're on your phone, like, just, I stare daggers. Anger.
When you send a very long message to somebody and their only response is, K.
When you're in a movie and someone near you is on their phone.
When you are in line and there's a shitload of people in front of you.
When you order something and it's wrong, but you also are the type of person who will not send it back because it's a waste of food.
when a waitress is miserable but also calls you hun.
People who talk at you, not with you.
Oh my god. Fucking hamburger meat. How about, I would say, okay, these new, have you seen the new Facebook commercials?
Is it the one with, like, the mom and the kid?
Yeah, that's one of them. And then there's another one where, like, this is Tom. Tom is fucking miserable. And, like, Tom's, like, standing by a copy machine and he's wearing his suit. And you could just tell the guy wants to, like, Bud Dwyer his head. And then fucking, this is Debbie. I can't remember the name. And then Debbie's, like, on vacation and she's, like, in a bikini and she's drinking out of, like, you know, she, I don't know, drinking out of a coconut, like some exotic, like, tropical island shit. And then, like, Debbie posted things, posted pictures of her vacation on Facebook. Tom is now happy. And then they, like, Photoshop with a bling sound, Tom in, like, vacation clothes, too, even though he's still at work.
So creepy. Also, are they poking fun at Tom, the creator of MySpace?
No, I mean, his name wasn't Tom. It was something else. But I actually would... Oh, that was the start. Oh, my God. MySpace started all of this passive-aggressive angry shit with the top eight friends.
Oh, you are so right. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
When you put... I remember... I'll never forget. I had to have a long talk with my dad. Because my dad was my number one friend. And then I put my other friend as number one. And my dad's like, oh, well, I'm not important. You don't love me anymore.
I'm actually shocked your dad had a MySpace. What, did all of your, did your mom have a MySpace too?
No, she doesn't. She's like really technologically illiterate. Like she doesn't know how to use a computer.
Okay. So. Okay. When there's a technologically illiterate person using a computer or a device and I'm like, just let me do it and make it go faster. No, no, I've got it. No, please let me do it and make it go faster. No. No, it's fine. No, it's not fine.
Okay. Okay, you brought up... Okay. Here's mine. Time rapers.
Oh, I don't like...
Okay. So, for you, for the listeners who are apprehensive on the word rape culture or don't really understand what it means, I'm not taking away any of the effects that rape has on its victims or its place in our culture. It is something that's very serious and needs to be dealt with seriously. But in order to bring a greater understanding to it, what I'm about to do now is, and why I'm giving you this foreign policy, is to minimize, is to use the same language to compare to a very trivial event that I guarantee everybody listening has experienced and is an expert on in order to gain a better understanding of rape culture in general. So, wow, what the fuck was that?
That was really articulate. Yeah. Good job.
Okay, so I'm really passionate about this shit because it makes me so angry. Okay, with me, I'm going to put myself in the role of victim for a second. So when I say that, that means I have to, let's just say people want to approach me in public and they want to rape my time. They see my ears and they're like, this is somebody that's going to fucking listen to me. So then they come up to me and they're like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm okay. How are you? And then they proceed to tell me their whole fucking life story. Not only that, but it could be something that happened to them. It could be just something in general. It could be the fucking cubbies, whatever it is. They're really holding up my, they're holding my time down. They're coming out of the bushes, they're holding my time down, and they're fucking raping my time. And I'm made to be the asshole for just saying, actually, I'm sorry, I have to go. So we create this culture to where if somebody is talking to you and they don't shut the fuck up, it's your fault for not staying in the whole time. And this goes with mood rapists. This goes with time rapists. This goes with about any type of verbal communication that just completely... Okay, like, have you ever just been chilling and you're, like, in a good mood and then someone comes in and rapes your fucking mood? Not necessarily with their Debbie Downer shit, but they just won't let you enjoy your space. Like, let's just say you... you just want to be, I mean, well, shit, I mean, as a female, you probably, like, get approached a lot more commonly in public just from people, like, you're just reading a book, and you just can't read a fucking book. So you're reading, let's just say John Steinbeck, and, you know, some guy comes up, hey, John Steinbeck, oh my God, he's my favorite author. What's your name? Well, then, you know.
And then you're like, oh yeah, he's great. I'm going to go back to reading my book. But instead they stand there and continue to talk at you. And you're like, oh, I should be polite and kindly nod, but I really just want to be reading my book. And fuck you, why'd you have to come up and talk to me?
And here's the thing. Men and women rape time. So I was at work 2 weeks ago, and this woman I haven't seen in months, she's a really great person. She's a really nice woman. I haven't seen her in months. We're about 10 minutes from closing up shop, and she is not aware of time or boundaries or other people's, like, responsibilities. So I had to go close up shop. So she just would not stop talking to me.
Oh yeah.
So instead of being there. So what the culture does is it perpetuates passivity through communication. So for instance, instead of saying, I'm sorry, I would love to talk to you more, but I have to go, I would be an asshole saying that. So instead, what I have to do is give these physical social cues, like slowly start walking away.
Or
start
putting your coat on.
Putting my coat on.
Putting your things in your bag.
Yeah. Saying, that's great. Yep. Great. Okay. All right. See you later. Oh, bye. No. So that's pretty much like the equivalent of me, like, having open ears is the equivalent of a girl having a short skirt and putting all the blame on the victim. So this sounds really fucked up, but I think that what I really hate is that most of the time, I just want to exchange a few pleasantries with somebody. Like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm good, man. Pretty good. You know, hey, did you see WrestleMania? Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, man, see you later. Like, I love it when people understand, like, who don't want to talk to people at all. My aunt recently got married a few years ago to this guy, and she brought him over to the house. He didn't want anything to do with us. He was sitting there cross-armed the whole time, just bored out of his mind, and my mom was talking to him about fucking rice or some shit. He didn't care. I love this man.
Okay, literally, I have been the person with their arms crossed, like, I'm so fucking mad that I'm here right now, and I don't want any of your fucking bullshit. And if you try to engage me in conversation, I will be curt, I will be short, and I will not give you a fucking answer.
But they just fucking, they get up all in your business, man. They take their fucking, like, word dick, and they just fucking get it up all in your business, and there's nothing you can do with it, because the culture says that if you just want to not have a conversation, you're an asshole.
Yes. Yes. So while I am like, oh my God, I don't want you to use that word, I have experienced everything you were talking about. Either been on the receiving end, and then my fear is that I have done this to people. Like, that's my biggest fear, is that I've, like, wasted their fucking time with my words. And, like, really what it is, like, this person either A, likes to hear themselves talk, B, is massively lonely and needs human interaction, or C, is a fucking dick.
That's where I come in, because I'm really lonely and I'm in need of human interaction, like, desperately. I have a very fucking dark existence. I just want to touch some face. Like, that's, and fucking, you know, be love and blow raspberries on their fucking stomach and shit, you know? Like, that's all I want. I don't get it. But just because I want it doesn't mean if somebody else wants to give it to me, then that means I should have it because I want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because, like, I'm at a party, you know, and I just want to maybe have some fucking club soda, that doesn't mean I just want to, like, talk to every single person.
Oh, have you ever been at a party and this happens where the person, like, corners you and you're like, oh my God, I just need to get out of this fucking conversation. Like, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every time. It happens at work. Everything. I hate this. I don't mean to sound like an asshole.
Uh-oh.
But I am.
You're going to sound like an asshole.
I am. But I feel like I just bring this thing out of people where they just want to tell me stuff, and
yep,
that's a good trait to have as a friend, but I draw the line when I have other responsibilities and they're just raping my fucking time and I have no say in it.
We've talked about this, like we must just have, like, faces that look open and kind, and people just want to, like, spew their fucking diatribe on us. And again, it's on It's never a dialogue. It's never a discourse. It's just them vomiting all over you. And you just have to sit. They just want you to sit there and take it. And again, like, they don't get the social cues. Like, I'm going to put on my things and I'm going to, like, nod politely and whatever. And then as soon as I have a fucking moment, I'm going to run away because I don't want to fucking hear your shit anymore.
Do you ever have something important to say? Like, a very valid point? And as soon as you bring it up, they just fucking keep adding to their same bullshit.
Oh my god, I have this issue. Oh my god, I told somebody that I was, you know, obviously I'm a teacher, and I told them, like, after the Parkland shooting, I was having, like, moments where, of anxiety, like, in my building, where I'm like, oh my god, like, what if the call came over right now, like, and there was a shooter, like, what would I do? And, like, getting kind of anxious, and, like, it's better now. It was, it happened a couple times, like, the week after, and I told the person this, and she's like, well, you think that's bad? Your cousin, Cheryl, blah, 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 and I'm like, oh, I'm like, yeah, like, do you understand? I just told you I'm anxious to go to work, and then you told me that I don't have it bad. I just fuck.
I got it. It fucking kills you from the inside,
oh, yeah,
right?
It does. Oh. Yeah, it does. I hope people don't think I'm like an angry person. I do love I was really upset this week, and I found some solace in listening to some old Suicide Silence records, because I was very upset this week for some reasons, and, like, just, like, the release, the catharsis, and being able to do, like, so good. I probably just killed everyone's earbuds, but...
Yeah, that completely spiked the audio. Like, I'm looking at the levels right now. Holy shit.
Sorry. That's how I feel. I should have switched over to 10 dB like we talked about.
Oh, that's fine, though. I mean, your anger is valid.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
Man.
Thanks, Rand.
So much shit gets... And I think a lot of people are angry at what's going on in the world right now. I think a lot of that is manufactured at the starting point of social media. Here's what also angers me, is when people don't have something going right for them and they want to leave the country.
I've heard people say this, or like, when, like, I'm just gonna up and move to Canada. Are you really? Like, I just don't understand. Like, they're not actually, they're just saying that.
What I want to say is, how more useless can you be? You've just completely admitted that your voice means absolutely nothing to your fucking home. Now, I understand there's a lot of problems with this country. I'm not happy with everything, like, going on inside of it. If anything, I have more problems with the culture than anything else. But I'm not going to up and fucking move away. This is the house you build. Like, your voice is only useless if everything you thought of has been tried and succeeded by lots of other people.
Yeah.
So a lot of these people, like, they think they fucking know better. They don't know how to make change. And I could understand the frustration, because it's built up to where us as the individuals can't do shit. But why go to Canada? Do you know fucking misery? Like, there's some unhappy people in Canada, too. There's misery everywhere. Misery comes with the fucking human existence.
Yeah.
Can't escape it.
To be human is to experience misery, frankly.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Things that make me angry. People who think that they deserve or should be happy 24/7. Fuck you. Who do you think you are? As we just said, existence is pain and misery. Get the fuck over it. It hurts. You gotta experience it. And also, like, Karen O of the Yeah had, like, this, like, talk with a magazine, and she was giving this girl advice on, like, a breakup, I think, and she said a heartbreak is one of the most beautiful things that a songwriter, an artist can have, because it's so inspiring. And that's kind of, like, yeah, at some of my darkest moments, some of, like, the best songs or best things I've ever written or thought of, like, have come out of my head. Like, you know, it's okay. But also, like, there's no person in this world who's happy 24/7, and you just need to accept that. Or, like, victim mentality, period. Like, I don't know if it's victim mentality, period. The people in this world who are hung up on shit that happened to them so long, and they refuse to try to get over it or get to a place of acceptance or, like, work on themselves when they know they have issues, so infuriating. Because, again, like, I'm not perfect. I have issues. I know what they are. I try to do my best, and sometimes my best isn't good enough. But, like, guess what, motherfucker? I'm trying. So, like, fuck you.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I have to disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why and what you disagree with.
What I disagree with, a lot of the times, like, especially, like, with someone who's experienced trauma, there's, like, complex PTSD.
Oh, okay. I should put the caveat. If this is, like, serious mega abuse, like, you don't ever have to get over it. But, like, I'm not talking about people who've been abused. I should have put that caveat.
Okay, I was gonna say, because it's like...
No.
Well, I mean, like, you typically rape people. Like, not rape people. rape victims, what happens to them is, like, they have such severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic stress disorder, you're not remembering. Your body is reliving it. Yeah, and every little bit of trauma, like, you actually facilitate that somewhere in your body.
Oh, for sure. No, I don't mean people who've been, like, harmed or abused or anything like that. I'm talking about the people who, like, are still butthurt they didn't get that job 3 years ago.
Okay.
And every day, like, those, no, like, abuse victims, like, oh my god, like, no, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who, like, really have not, like, again, like, the person who, like, didn't get that job 3 years ago and lives in misery and anguish every fucking day because they didn't get that fucking job. Or, like, they still will rehash, like the injustices that are really not injustices against them their whole fucking existence. And they, like, will not try to benefit themselves or others. They will just wallow in their fucking misery because they're unhappy fucking people.
Give an example. Saw the eyebrows.
I can't go too specific because I don't want to burn bridges, but person in my life was, this person had legitimate trauma that they are allowed to never get over, that they have relived many times, and, like, you were just talking about, like, legitimate trauma. Then there were things that they had in their control that they chose. Okay, so this is the thing in my brain. Every choice has consequences, positive and negative, right? So, like, you deciding to not work for the first 5 years of your child's life, and instead choosing to live off money you inherited, and then when the time comes that money runs out and you need to take a job, and you take a job that is one where you can be with your son for many hours of the day and watch him grow up, but doesn't pay very well. So the negative consequence of that is that your financial situation isn't the best, but the positive consequence is you have an amazing, wonderful relationship with your child, and you've always been there for them, and all of that good stuff. But then they're complaining 20 years later that they didn't have money when people offered them jobs. People gave them opportunities. And they said, no, I will do fine with the finances that I have. It's more important that I have this relationship with my son. Like, own the consequences, positive, negative. In the end, you chose your child over a better financial situation. And for you, at the time, that was the right choice. But they all have positive and negative consequences. Do not fucking complain about how you don't have fucking money when people offered you those positions and offered you those things and you didn't take them. And not even complaining, not even, like, hemming and hawing, I should have taken that job, I should have done this. Hemming and hawing at their fucking situation that they didn't even try to improve. And that they had the opportunity to, and they fucking didn't. And they chose something else. Whatever. Own your fucking choices.
Okay, I think I understand more now. I think it's because we, like, once we leave the microphones, we kind of go into different places. So I'm more with, like, the psychological, like, self, like, help and, like, trauma aspect of it, because, like, that's, like, still, like, what I'm researching. So, like, when you said that, I was just like, wait a minute.
No, I'm talking about... No. I totally get that. Yeah, no. Any victim of abuse or PTSD experience are, like, definitely not those people. I'm talking about the people who, like, wallow in... They wallow in things that, like, it's an, again, like, every decision has a positive and a negative consequence. Like, I chose to go to school rather than be a musician. The positive consequences are that I'm in debt. Well, negative consequence, I'm in debt. Positive consequence, I have these degrees. Positive consequence, I have this job. Negative consequence, I have not made music officially. I have not strengthened myself as a musician, so on and so forth. Am I upset that I'm not in a better place with my music? Yes. But that was my choice, and I made it, and I'm still going on.
All right, let me ask. I believe I understand what you're saying, but okay, hypothetical situation.
Sure.
Your car is pretty much a piece of shit that needs to be repaired.
Okay.
You have the money to repair it.
Okay.
You can repair it at any time.
Okay.
And you refuse to.
Okay.
And then it breaks down. So then after it breaks down, you're like, man, I don't have a fucking car that works.
So like, wait, so like, I'm driving a really crappy car and I have the money to fix it, but I don't fix it until it absolutely breaks down and then I can't afford the repairs?
No, you just, like, it's just broken because you didn't fix it. Let's just say where you could have used maybe perhaps a tune-up or a catalytic converter or something that could have been easily fixed. Okay, put it into a more simple context. Let's just say that you have a very tiny, minuscule hole in your t-shirt. Like, and it's just like, it's just there. You can't really see it unless somebody studied it up close, like in the light.
Sure.
But then over time, that fucking hole grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And you could have sewed that fucking thing with one stitch.
As soon as you noticed it.
As soon as you noticed it. But instead, you just let it grow. And then one day, as you're putting it on, you accidentally put your head through the hole and the whole fucking shirt rips. And you're complaining about how much bad luck you have.
Yeah, I have so much rage about that individual. So much rage. Because it's like, it's like ounce of prevention versus pound of cure. Well, and again, it's like, again, how many times I just fucking say again, but it has to deal with like this idea that every decision has consequences. It's like butterfly effect or dominoes. You just push one over and it's gonna affect other things. So there's positive and negative things that happen when you push the domino, when that butterfly flaps its wings, like things will be affected. And there's positive parts of that, and there's also negative ones. And the fact is that, like, to be a mature adult, you need to accept both. It doesn't serve you to then be upset for the rest of your life that you made a choice that now, I don't know if regret is the right word, but that you are, I don't know. And again, like, I can't really talk about it because I will get so fucking enraged like I just did. And I probably gave way too much information. And the person who knows who I'm talking about is probably really fucking mad at me if they ever listen to this. And I just gotta be okay with it.
So, you know what pisses me off? It is people who get pissed off at bullshit like that.
Well, you know what? That's, yeah. Like, honestly, like, and this person knows how I feel about that person, the other person that I was complaining about. So, like, it's nothing new, but that shit does get me salty to this day.
So, I think what you also brought up, like, there's a certain, okay, your problem is with stubbornness. Would you say, like with that story, like, this person was, like, you know, did what they did, but they were stubborn to change or, like, to do anything better? Or was it more of a lack of exploring options at the time?
Like, what makes me mad about the situation? Oh, right. I think what makes me mad is just that there's no accountability. Okay. And that they want to blame, like, they want to blame and choose to look at the negative consequences of their actions rather than the positive. And I'm a pessimistic person by nature. But I still would, like, sure, my financial situation might be shit, but I should sit within the resolve of, like, but I had a great relationship with my child, and I got this, and I got that, and those are my decisions, and I made them, and I own them because I'm a mature adult. Like, again, accountability. Owning your shit.
I understand. Okay, I understand. And thanks for explaining, and I hope you don't get into any shit for spitting what you just spat.
Yeah, dude, like, I think we talked about it earlier, like, if I'm being honest and I'm speaking truth, then I shouldn't be afraid. And so, that's that. I just don't want to be accused of shit posting or trolling or anything like that, or talking shit when I don't need to.
Yeah.
Because I sadly care about other people. And kind of what other people think about me.
I often get angry because I really don't know 100% of what people think about me. Even though It's weird. I have such a weird fucking way of connecting with people. Like, there's a certain degree of self-sabotaging that goes on first, and then there's connection.
Interesting.
It's weird. So it's kind of like, in order to climb up the stairs, I have to, like, fall down and then get back up and then climb the stairs up to the top again. Every single time.
Do you think it's... That's interesting. Is that a conditioned response from, like, childhood?
Could be. I've always been like that. I think, well, at least more in my adult years, because the people that I want to surround myself with, I want to make sure that, like, they would understand me. And yeah. I don't think I can have any sort of relationship with anybody where I have to put up such a big facade and put on this face and, you know, like, hide, like, how I really feel and not be genuine in the moment. I can't be around those people anymore. Because you know what happens? Every time that I've always been disingenuous. Is that a word? Disingenuous?
Yes, disingenuous.
Disingenuous to myself. I have been fucking angrier as a result.
Yeah, I agree that a lot of anger comes from not having the space or breath to be who you are. Like, I remember I wasn't angry, because I said earlier, like, I often will be more upset or, like, almost like a depressive state than anger. But, like, I remember, like, when I got my first job and they made me dye my hair from blonde and black to, like, a normal, quote unquote, natural hair color, I was so upset because I wasn't being true to myself. Like, when I think of myself, I think of myself with my blonde and black hair. Like, that's who I am. I have every intention of dying with this dye job. Like, this is me. And so if I had to look, like, have natural hair and, like, my septum ring, like, I, like, can take out and still feel like myself and, like, see myself without it. But, like, without my hair, and people are probably gonna think I'm super, like, superficial, but, like, seriously, like, that's me. And if I couldn't live looking like me, I don't, like,
Yeah, you'd be fucking trapped. What you're doing is you're just building up, like, walls to close yourself in.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Making your own prison cell, man.
Dude, I feel like I make my own prisons.
Yeah, so, well, don't anybody out there listening to this, well, that just sounded like a fucked up sentence. Anybody who's listening to this, don't build your own prison cells.
Don't build your own prison. Don't let anger be a prison.
No, fuck no. If anything, anger is a great motivator, but it really depends on your action, because anger is a very healthy thing to feel in terms of, like, when it happens, you should feel it. Not that you should want anger, but when it happens, it's kind of like, you know, it's like getting a suntan or some shit, you know, it's just out, you know, you're out in the light. That's just kind of how it is. But just make better decisions and, like, how you use that anger. So if you're one of those people who has to express themselves artistically and when you're angry, you should do it. A lot of comedians do that shit. They go on stage, like, completely angry. And some of the funniest shit that I've ever come up with, or even most articulated shit, has come from when I've been in a very angry or very sad suicidal state. Yeah. I don't know how the fuck that works, but I've also seen anger completely destroy relationships and friendships at that too. So there's a lot to be said with, like, how the fuck, you know, we take care of ourselves and each other.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we need to remember that validating each other's feelings could be a great step in the right direction, so that we do not have to bury, we don't have to self-harm or whatever. But we validate each other's feelings and our own, we're one step closer to taking care of ourselves and each other.
Yeah, I mean, taking a shit is a normal part of life. Just don't shit on each other.
Oh, that's such a good way to end this episode.
Yes, so in the meantime, just be good to each other, take care of each other, and stop posting passive-aggressive shit on Facebook, for God's sakes.
Seriously, assholes.
Yeah. Fuck. The fuck is wrong with you? The
fuck is wrong with you?
All right, good night.
Good night, and good luck. Thank you.